Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life, into your heart at this particular point on your faith journey. These are probably familiar words. It's the story of the transfiguration of Jesus according to Mark. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, I want to start off this morning with a very personal question. Are you ready? Do you like bugs? Bugs? I hope so, because bug season is just around the corner. Do you like bugs? In fact, in just a couple of months, bugs will be everywhere. Bugs will be everywhere. The weather will warm up, the pollen will overwhelm us, and the bugs will eat us alive. Feeling pretty good this morning? Feeling pretty good? You like bugs? Good. You better enjoy this time while you have it. All right. It may be a little gloomy at times, but no bugs. All right. Bugs. Which ones do you like the least? Bugs, that is. Mosquitoes? Biting ants? Gnats? Yellow jackets? How about ticks? Now, they're fun. How about those? Oh, how about slugs? I know that technically a slug is not a bug, but it's close enough and I don't like them. All right. We could go on and on about the bugs that we do not like, but I want to save that for another sermon, maybe later in the spring when we have some of those friends with us. What I want to talk about right now are the bugs that you love. What bugs do you love? Okay, let me get out my list here. So, there is no list. There is no list of the bugs that I like. The question I have for you this morning is, there is only one bug on my bugs I like or bugs I love list, and I want you to guess what that bug is. Okay, let me give you a hint. It's not ladybugs. It's not, you know, they're okay. Ladybugs are okay, but I don't love them. I don't love them, no. Are there any entomologists with us today? Anybody? Okay, good, good, good. Okay. Here is the bug that I love. The butterfly. Butterfly. Do you like butterflies? You know you do. We love them. We love them so much that we follow them, you know? Think about the monarchs. People follow them from somewhere in South America all the way up to Capistrano, where or wherever. People love butterflies. You know, but what's odd about this Lepidoptera obsession is that while people love full-grown butterflies, they are not especially crazy about their precursor. You know, the juveniles. You remember them, right? They're called caterpillars. Or I like to call them hairy worms. Do you like caterpillars? I doubt it. I doubt it. Now, don't get all sentimental because of that book, The Big Fat Caterpillar, or The Hungry Caterpillar, whatever that was. That's fiction, folks. Come on. You know, when I was a kid, I was always amazed and perplexed by the fact that a caterpillar could wrap itself up in a cocoon and then X number of days later emerge as a new creature, a butterfly. And it wasn't just some minor change. No. It was literally a new beast. You know, how did that happen? That's what I wonder. How did that happen? What happened to the caterpillar? Where did it go? Whence the butterfly? And of course, the question of all questions was always, where did the caterpillar get all those parts to make the butterfly? Lots of questions. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Did you know that? Of course you did. Well, you're in good company. Most folks don't know that. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Today is a day that we ask, where did the caterpillar get all those parts to make the butterfly? It's a great day to be in this place, whether in person or virtually. It's a great day to be here. You know, it's all about transfiguration. You know, I'm glad you're here to celebrate this holiday with us at Pleasant Grove. So welcome. A minute ago, I read Mark's version of the story. He writes, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. He was transfigured before them. To transfigure means to change form or change appearance. We know about transfiguration, don't we? We strive after it. You know, so many of us yearn for it. Today is, Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's. Today is February 14th. January 1 was not that long ago, folks. You remember your resolutions. Transfiguration. Okay, let me ask you. Do you want to change something about you? If you could at this very moment change something, what would it be? What would you change? I don't answer that. Just think about it. Now, for most of us, the story in Mark 9 doesn't carry very much meaning. No. It just comes across as another bizarre story from the tradition that defies our experience and our comprehension, right? There's just no getting around it. On its surface, the story of Jesus' transfiguration is bizarre. But believe it or not, it's not really that crazy of a story once you understand its context. You know, there are a lot of things like that, aren't there? If you understand the context, they make more sense. So as we wrestle with transfiguration, it is important for us to remember that many early Christians interpreted the figure of Jesus with the help of the Mosaic tradition. You know, Jesus was a new Moses, you know, a new deliverer. Did you hear what Janine read just a few moments ago? Exodus chapter 24. And as I read some of these words for you again, think about the parallels to the story of the Transfiguration. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now think about that. God calls Moses up on the mountain. Jesus goes up on the mountain. Moses brings his assistant Joshua. Jesus brings his assistants Peter, James, and John. Well, up on the mountain, a cloud covers the mountain for 6 days, and after 6 days, a voice calls from the mountain to Moses. Mark says 6 days later, Jesus and the disciples went up on the mountain, a cloud descended, and a voice called from heaven. Do you get it? Transfiguration is a very simple concept. It's about encountering God. It's about meeting God face to face. As we wrestle with transfiguration, we can't allow ourselves to get sidetracked by the details of the story. And we can't try to rationalize it, you know. We can't try to figure out how Moses and Elijah could be on the mountaintop with Jesus. You know, or what happened to Jesus' clothes. To do that would be to miss the point. You know, to ask where the caterpillar got all those parts to be a butterfly misses the point. So rather than analyze the transfiguration, we need to be confronted by it. The beauty of the butterfly. The transfiguration is about God and it's about Jesus, but it's more than that. It's about all of us. To put simply, to encounter God is to be transfigured. To be transfigured is to be recreated. You know, the story of the Transfiguration is not irrelevant for us today. It's not just a crazy story written 20 centuries ago. No, it's about you and it's about me right here, right now. The transfigure of Jesus prefigures our transformation as human beings. If we claim Jesus as the ground of our spiritual life, then the divine directive with which the story ends is a personal directive. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Listen to him. When our lives are transfigured by the presence of God, we're no longer the same. That's impossible. Priorities change, behaviors change, lives change. Mark says that when Peter heard the voice in the cloud, quote, he did not know what to say for he was terrified. I guess so. That's one of the few lines in this text that makes perfect sense right off the bat. Encountering God can be a nerve-rattling experience. The idea, the thought of being transfigured is terrifying. We hate change. Today's the final Sunday of the liturgical season of Epiphany. On Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we begin the journey to Easter. The season, as you know, is called Lent. Lent is a 40-day period of intense personal reflection and introspection. It is a season during which we consider the implications of transfiguration. The implications of Epiphany. We've been confronted. Now what do we do with it? You know, an encounter with the sacred that leaves us asking, what does this mean for my life? So today we stand at the end of Epiphany and we ponder a transfiguration. It's like it's the old caterpillar butterfly issue. We're trying to find the right parts that we know are in there somewhere. Discipleship is the process of uncovering the sacredness that is lodged in our souls. You know, that wholeness that cannot be taken from us despite our best attempts. It's an ancient affirmation. Discipleship is a process by which we strive to conform our lives to the image of Christ. It is an incremental transformation that slowly reveals the image of God. It's like the ancient coin that the archaeologist finds buried in the centuries-old muck. They brush it off. Maybe they put a hose on it. And as the water rains down on the coin, the muck, the gunk gives way and slowly the image appears. The image had been stamped on that coin so many years prior, suddenly, you know, that had been lost and obscured, suddenly becomes beautiful. Friends, Pleasant Grove, you know, any faith community, is a voluntary association of folks who decide to come together and structure their community life around an alternative worldview, a sacred worldview. So every Sunday, we gather in this place, again, whether in person or virtually, to reaffirm our charter. We gather each week to claim an alternative ground for our lives and an alternative source for a value for our souls. That transcends economics. It's not what you do, it's who you are. We gather to tell our story in this place, a story that reminds us that we bear on our very soul the image of God. And that changes everything, right? Life in the community of faith is a life of transfiguration. But, we have to practice. Friends, the Lenten season is a season of intensive practice. Spring training. It's a perfect setup for transfiguration. So this morning, I am inviting you to join me for practice. And the way we're going to structure our practice this year is that we're going to have six exercises. We're going to try one exercise each week of Lent. I'll introduce it on Sunday morning. We'll talk about it a little bit. And then we will all try to incorporate it into our lives during the following week. And then the next Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon, we'll gather virtually, those who want to talk about how things went the previous week with this new exercise. You know what we found to be helpful, we'll talk about that. And what we found to be unhelpful, we'll talk about. And maybe that's more important. You know, and the idea is that maybe over the course of Lent, we will find a practice that can become our practice. You know, a practice that just might help us along the way of transfiguration. Help us become butterflies. Wow. So this week, get limber, stretch out, because next week, we're going to start working out. So I'll see you then. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son. Listen to him." Thanks be to God. Amen.